Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Nathan Fox. That's Ben Olson. We're the founders of LSATdemon.com and our weekly podcast, Thinking LSAT. We have an email here from Anonymous.
Hello, Ben and Nathan. Thanks for everything you do at The Demon. For context, I have a 3.98 UGPA, undergraduate GPA, and have worked for about 2 years at a legal organization. I quit 6 months ago and began studying part-time for the LSAT approximately 5 months ago.
Okay.
My diagnostic was a 151, and I have raised my practice test score to 161.
Okay.
My issue is that I struggle to finish all of the sections despite my relatively high accuracy. I know that you both say that speed comes with time, but I'm starting to feel discouraged. I planned on spending these months on the LSAT, but I hoped to be closer to my goal of a 165 plus by now. Some of my mentors are encouraging me to sign up for the November LSAT so that I have a psychological push to really put my head down and grind, but I'm reluctant.
Ugh. You already passed the deadline for that, so you don't have to worry about the November LSAT. But boy, these advisors just, they give bad advice. I don't know what it is, but they don't understand this shit. Like your advisors are very likely not LSAT and logic and law school admissions experts. I mean, even the director of pre-law advising at whatever school, I have no doubt that they have the best of intentions, but they give bad advice. Like it takes longer than that sometimes. And it does not help you to push for any particular deadlines in this shit.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, the question here is, do you think I should take the LSAT next month or hold off? Also, do you think I will be viewed negatively by law schools for devoting these months to mainly this?
Yeah,
thanks again.
Absolutely not. They don't care.
They don't care about this, but I do actually think this devotion is part of the problem, right? You had a job. You quit it. It sounds like you quit it to start studying for the LSAT. It's like you're trying to fit your life into these boxes. You're like, okay, I'm going to work. Then I'm going to do LSAT for 5 months or whatever time I'm going to do it for. And then I'll be done and I'll go on to the next box, which is applications or whatever you have in mind. But that's your problem. You need to be doing LSAT in parallel with something else in your life so that it's not in some sort of fixed time frame.
Yeah. Diagnostic of 151 is really good.
Yeah. You could get into the 170s.
But a diagnostic of 151 is not like one of the best diagnostics, right? I mean, when somebody shows up with a 162, then I'm like, oh, okay. Wow. 162 cold. I could get you into the 170s with, more often than not. In three months, I think.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
161 cold diagnostic. Give me 3 months. I think I got you in the 170s. Not always by any means, but probably more often than not. 151 diagnostic. I don't know how long that takes. It could happen in 3 months. But it could also happen in 6 months. It could happen in 9 months. It could happen in 18 months. I don't know. And I do know that if you force yourself to have some one particular deadline, it can actually be counterproductive. And I want to echo Ben's point that studying for the LSAT full time is probably just not a good idea.
Not for admissions, for succeeding on the test.
Right. It has nothing to do with admissions, which I don't know if that's advice that's coming from your pre-law advisor or whatever your mentor is. I don't know who your mentor is. It could be an attorney or just a family friend or whatever, but this idea that like the schools are going to worry that you didn't do anything for a while after undergrad or that you quit your job and didn't, you don't have anything on your resume. I don't think that really matters. I mean, I guess some schools ask you to explain gaps in your resume.
Yeah. I mean, if they did, I just feel like we live in a world where you can say, hey, I was focusing on some family things. Like, who cares?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. It's not like you have to be, you don't have to lie, but you just say something like, I was I was attending to some personal matters. You know, it's none of their business what you were doing. And they just don't care.
I got to work all the time. Like, no, apparently you didn't need to. So it's a weird assumption, right? Like, oh, you're not being productive. It's an American assumption.
Yeah, it is. It is extremely American. Yeah. I wouldn't worry about that at all. I would just worry about, you know, you think your problem is that you struggle to finish all the sections, but I guarantee that's not the case. You're like 161s don't come from not finishing. 161s come from making some mistakes. I could be wrong. You know, you could be doing 18 questions per section with 100% accuracy, but I doubt that that's the case. I think what's really happening is you're doing 22 questions per section and you're getting like 18 of those right, or 17 of those right. You know, like, so your quickest route to improving your score is that you need to stop trying to finish the sections
and stop trying to finish the LSAT within this arbitrary 6-month timeline. It's both, right? It's both of these things are putting pressure on you in a way that's preventing you from really just digging into the test and unlocking it.
Anything more for Anonymous?
No. Email daily at lsatdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.